You're listening to the Dan and Cody podcast number 33. This week, we've got Sarah Hill, Dan's sister. She does pole fitness, so make sure you hold on tight because this pole's going to get hot. Play that jam!
This is the Dan and Cody podcast.
A toy boat.
The arsonist had oddly shaped feet.
This is the Dan and Cody podcast.
Red leather, yellow leather.
Saddle up, partner.
And if I am
ever fall
in love again, I will be sure that the lady is a friend. And if I ever fall
in love,
so true.
Welcome to the Dan and Cody podcast, episode 33. I'm here with Cody Frederick.
Thank you.
And that's it.
Dan.
No.
Be gentle.
My lovely older sister is in town.
Why do you have to say older? Can't I just be your sister?
My sister.
Dan, let me do this. You're doing this. This is terrible. Man. You're doing no justice to your sister.
Thank you, Cody.
Then. Okay. So we have none other than Dan's doppelganger ganger with breasts, Sarah Hill. What up, girl?
That's disgusting.
I'm totally kidding. I totally have breasts.
Yes.
I have hair, though.
That's true. It's much nicer than you.
We should Snapchat face swap and it won't
be
any different.
No, I tried to do that with Dad, and it said, it was like, add the second face. It would not allow us to Snapchat.
Really?
Yeah, it thought we had the same face.
We're unswappable.
We're unswappable.
Now, sitting here as a, you know, the outsider looking at the both of you.
There's two of us.
I can tell you guys are related.
We are.
And that's awesome. How's that working out so far?
It's good.
It's great.
Sarah
it's great.
Was a sibling of mine that was born before me.
Oh, okay.
And...
just a couple.
Really, what's the age difference?
Three.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good. So
three 12 months.
3 12 months.
Three 12 months.
That's good.
But no, me and Sarah have a very special relationship because
your brother and sister.
My sister, like when my mom went back to school after my parents got divorced.
Okay.
So there
Fun
was
times.
A lot of time.
Fun times.
There was a lot of time that was just siblings. Like,
okay.
Figuring it out. Like, Sarah taught me how to boil water.
Wow. We vented Chegg's together.
Yeah, she taught me how to put cheese and eggs and scramble them up.
Used to get in trouble for making chocolate chip pancakes and leaving the burnt batter on the skillet.
Mm-hmm.
That's always the best batter, though.
She taught me how to do the laundry.
Good.
Which he didn't learn.
But I didn't learn well.
Way to go, Jenny.
She taught me how to heat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and then and toast it, and then it tastes
so like you heat
way
it
better.
And then you toasted it.
No, you well see my mom, she kept the bread in the freezer.
Yeah.
Even though we'd be ready to eat it at that moment. So
the first
step of the process of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich was thawing out your portioned pieces of bread.
All right.
And then you'd throw that in the toaster.
Yeah,
right.
Which creates a golden brown, so crisp.
Golden.
No, it's so and then you put the peanut butter. Boat. I did the same thing.
Then you put the peanut butter and jelly on it, shut it, heat it up in the mic. You nuke it after the toasting, and then it's like a melty peanut buttery jelly.
Oh wow, that's actually I never did that. I just went with the toaster, and then I do a peanut butter sandwich.
Really, just drips all down your face.
That's
it's good though.
Yeah, you know, sounds delightful.
Sarah taught me how to smoke.
Anything.
She taught me about music. She taught me how to cuff my pants in second grade so that it looked cool.
I did.
And then how you put your socks over it to cover the cuffs.
No. What? No.
Nobody taught you
no,
that.
I didn't teach you that.
You took that up
I taught you to bunch the socks
right.
up.
Oh, yeah. How, like, you pull up the socks and you bunch them
that
down.
That same year you decided you figured you'd go for the double heat and then you'd go for a freeze and then try and eat the peanut butter and jelly.
That's right.
That was your method.
Sarah taught me about girls. She basically molded me into the man I am today.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
I appreciate it. That's awesome.
But
well
I,
done. And, I have to say, Dan Hill, if he's anything, he's a man.
I am a man. So. And a lot of my closest friends are girls. So I attribute a lot of that to how me and Sarah grew up together and, like, you know, I was involved in all, like,
female
the
things.
Drama, the yeah. girl
we've,
drama.
We've had our times. We've
That's
had,
good. We've That's had important. Had our times.
Yeah.
You grew together.
Yeah. We a couple podcasts ago, we talked about gymnastics, how we used to play gymnastics.
Oh, yes, that's right. Triple flips off the side of the couch and on the bed.
What was the thing that she would do to you that you talked about on a
you
podcast?
Didn't know if your name was Jennifer or not.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Was I Amanda or Jennifer when
I
we played
it was
gymnastics?
Emily. Oh, no. You liked the name Jennifer.
Yeah.
I didn't because it would make me think of like this.
And you were Samantha, maybe.
I was usually Samantha or Stacy.
Yeah.
Except Stacy was always spelled like weird, like S-T-A-I-Y-E-E.
Stacy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
We were getting Mari Povich.
Which is ironic because now I actually collect ghetto names.
From the Mari Povich episodes?
I do.
Oh, very nice.
Of baby.
Names like Nangrissa. And,
that's a name?
And LaQuantanisha.
She's a collector of names.
All of them.
Yep. So
Chiquitria is one of my faves. One of my faves.
Chiquitria.
Yes.
So before we dive into
I think I like the first one.
Oh yeah.
Before we really get into to Sarah, I wanted to talk about a very serious and sad thing that happened at Disney World, where these parents were they were at the Disney Resort and they left their kid. Well, the kid his name is Lane Graves. He was doing what two-year-old boys do on a hot Florida evening. He was splashing around in the shallow waters of a lagoon on the resort. And he was taken by an alligator.
I thought you were about to say by someone hunting Liam Neeson's daughter.
Liam Neeson's?
You're about to be taken.
He was taken. But the they took him, and like there was an altercation. Like the dad like tried to fight the alligator and didn't win.
Yeah, I know. I would imagine.
Did the dad die?
No.
No.
The kid is dead.
Yes. Well,
he is.
So he was doing what little boys do, which is splash around in a lagoon.
In a lagoon. Okay. At the edge of the lagoon.
So you mean in the wild, right?
Live and swim in.
Yeah, where in Florida, everybody has a pool.
The only little boy that did that was Mowgli from The Jungle Book.
That's true.
The only boy I can think of that successfully did that.
Yeah.
And but, on a regular basis, for that matter.
He also beat a tiger, so.
Yeah. And, you know, I hear the story, and it's very sad that this kid is dead, and they were at Disney World, and they lost him. He's dead. But I can't fault the alligator here, because they got to eat.
Well, and you're in his natural habitat.
Yeah. Well, I think it was a Disney-made lagoon.
It doesn't matter.
But
it turned into a natural habitat.
Yeah, it turned into a natural habitat. So, like, they were, like, manhunting this alligator. I'm like, alligator did nothing wrong.
You get the guys with the pitchforks, and they're out, and they're angry.
Yeah. So, they found the body.
Of what?
Of the boy? The kid.
How much of it?
He was fairly mangled. He was splashing about, the sheriff said. Wait.
The boy was?
No. He suffered from trauma. That's what they said. Drowning and trauma.
Well.
So I'm sure he got chewed up to bits. He got gobbled up.
I mean, it's an alligator.
But yeah, I mean.
He was eaten.
So how does this make you feel? I mean, truly, like, how does this make you feel? Like,
I feel sympathy for the alligator.
And then the parents were upset that there were no signs that said, watch out for alligators.
But there are signs.
There are
signs that say no swimming or playing on the beach side. Like, there is a pool for them to play in.
Yeah.
So there were signs.
But it fuck the signs. It doesn't even matter.
Watch your kids.
Yeah, watch your kids. You got to watch your kids. If there is a sign and it says high voltage.
No. Even if there is a sign, you don't let your kids play by the high voltage fence.
Yeah, that's what
I'm
saying.
You don't let your kid play in a lagoon, okay?
If there were power lines, do you need a sign that says, no, don't touch the power lines to tell your kid not to touch the power lines?
Well, I don't know. I mean, until I touch the power line, I just want to make sure there's real power there.
Yeah.
Come on.
No, I mean, it's very sad. I don't know why, like, after all the shit that happened in Orlando, I don't know why you would spend this much time, like, searching for this alligator to find the body. Because, you know, like, the dad knows, like, I lost a bout with an alligator. and the kid had, and the alligator has the kid.
Yes.
So
even
that's
if they
it.
Found the alligator, those bones have been crunched up. There's yeah, nothing left. Like
there's nothing left.
Do you even want
left.
That body back
Baby's
for closure?
Got
there's nothing Do you even left. Want it back?
What is closure? And not just that. Like I'm an alligator. Okay, just for a minute.
Okay.
What's on my mind?
Food.
Food.
I'm trying
food.
To eat
food. So food. You send a bunch of guys with pitchforks at me. A, I'm going to look at you as either food. I'm not going to stop and be like, oh, yeah, I just ate that little boy. How do you like that pitchfork, guys?
Yeah.
No, you're going to like, you know, you're going to be an alligator. There's nothing that's like, you can't get an eye for an eye with an alligator that only thinks about just surviving.
Yeah. If anything, it's unlucky. It's unfortunate for this family that their yeah. kid's dead.
Yeah, it's true.
If but, they would have watched him, yeah. maybe he'd still be with us.
They cut open 5 alligators looking for the body.
They killed 5 alligators looking what? For this kid.
Where's PETA when we need it?
New Ripple.
Has PETA,
New Ripple.
Has PETA gotten wind of this?
That's bullshit. That's total shit. You
yeah,
can't,
and I mean, if you look it up.
How you gonna kill 5 alligators looking for a kid you know is like, eaten up by an alligator?
By the way, how big do they think an alligator's stomach is? It's not
know.
Like you're going to see a boy's leg sticking out of the body. Like, it's going to be digested.
Yeah. That is so fucked up now that I know that they killed 5 alligators looking for a kid whose body is mangled and chewed up. Like, are you even going to put that in a casket?
Actually, doesn't it only take 24 hours for food to digest? He's probably shit that kid out by
okay.
now.
Okay.
I'm just being...
Alligator style. Well, here's something interesting. In Wikipedia... provides a list of fatal alligator attacks that occurred in the United States over the last decade.
Okay.
How many alligator attacks do you think have happened this year alone?
20.
Attacks?
Yeah. How many people have died?
In the United States?
Fatal alligator attacks. How many?
Define attack. Like alligator fatal knocks
alligator
on your door.
Attacks.
Fatal alligator
fatal
attacks.
Fatal alligator attacks.
It just in the United States?
In the United States. How many? How many do you think?
15.
20.
I say 15.
20.
Two?
When was that updated?
It was updated with this little boy by the name of Lane Graves that just got eaten by an alligator.
Yikes. Yikes.
Two.
Can I tell you the last person that got eaten by the alligator? His name was Richard Zachary Taylor, 72 years old.
Was he in
and
Home
he was eaten on the 5th of June. He was eaten roughly 10 days prior to Lane Graves being
I've
eaten.
Never heard
really?
That name before, ever.
No, you haven't, because you don't give a damn, because he's a 72-year-old man walking too close
I thought
to the lagoon.
I thought he was the
they
oldest.
They didn't cut alligators open for him.
Like,
I thought he was the oldest son in Home Improvement.
Okay.
Might have been his grandfather. He may be the senior.
Isn't that Zachary
Ty Taylor
Bryan?
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, and to give you another idea, in the year 2015, now I don't know how up to date this is, there were a total of 3 deaths.
So in what?
2015.
So in 2 years,
yes.
Humans have attacked 3 more alligators.
Than we have attacked.
Than they have attacked on us.
How did Steve Irwin die? Was he attacked by
a
crocodile?
He got a stingray
okay. through the heart.
Oh. Yeah.
But even so, that's like in Australia.
Yeah.
He wasn't hanging out. I mean, he likes crocodiles or alligators.
That is bullshit.
Now.
That is total shit.
You know, and it fluctuates. You know, there's a lot of deaths. There's going to be a big, like, if this is right, since 2010... The last alligator death was 2007 from 2015.
What?
So these alligators, like the people that are getting attacked by alligators are the kinds of people that are hanging out in lagoons.
Yeah. Just being dumb. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and exactly.
Yeah. All right. So what if you were like not that family, but what if you were with your family at Disney World that day? Like,
I wouldn't be playing around in the lagoon, that's for sure.
But, like, do you go home?
No.
Like, if you just got there, are you like,
my
well...
My family paid money for those tickets. I'm going to go see It's a Small World after all.
So you hear the news, then you're like, all right, y'all ready to go to Epcot?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Pretty much.
I just need to get out. I just need to get away. I need to get to another place.
I'm going to Treasure Island.
Yeah, exactly.
Go play around in the Robinson Crusoe treehouse.
Thank you.
Maybe even take a spin on the teacups ride. It's not going to ruin my day.
Yep.
How soon do you explain to the kids that...
So, just so you know, with those numbers here... This list is incomplete, as they stated, so may be more than that.
The year's not over.
Hey, that's true.
If it's on the internet, it's true, man.
Well, that was Wikipedia. USA Today says that alligator attacks, fatalities... Oh, my God. Are you serious right now? Alligator attacks in Florida alone. There are several attacks a year. But from a fatality standpoint, they had one in 2007... And they had another in 2015 for fatalities.
Don't you think they're that low because people know you don't go messing around
in an
alligator's
around.
House?
You don't mess around.
Do you know Gilbert Arenas?
Of course I know Gilbert Arenas.
You know Gilbert Arenas?
Basketball?
Yeah. He has a quote about sharks that makes sense here. I'm going to read it to you.
You're quoting a basketball player who has a quote about sharks?
Right.
he's an authority on basketball sharks.
It's about shark attacks.
Okay.
All right. He says there's no such thing as shark attacks. He says we're humans. We live on land. Sharks live in water. So if you're swimming in the water and a shark bites you, that's called trespassing. That is not a shark attack. A shark attack is if you're chilling at home, sitting on your couch, and a shark comes in and bites you. That's a shark attack. Now, if you're chilling in the water, that is called invasion of space. So I've never heard of a shark attack.
Did Gilbert Arenas shoot himself in the leg with a gun?
Negative.
Okay.
He brought guns into a locker room.
Just in case a shark.
Let me clear this up for you.
Come into his locker room and attack him.
He lost a card game on an airplane with his teammate Javaris Crittenden, and Gilbert didn't have the money to pay him. So Javaris said, "I'm going to kill you."
So he didn't want to be the victim of a card shark attack.
No. So Gilbert Arenas was like, "Okay." The next day, he brought the guns into the locker room, put them on Javaris Crittenden's locker, and said, "Pick one to kill him with." And that was the thing.
Sounds like a shark attack to me.
Right. But I'm saying Gilbert is right if you spin it to alligators.
Yeah. Let's just hope they don't put like...
You're with me, Andy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally.
I think you should probably not quote Gilbert.
This is good podcast material.
No, seriously. I mean, I don't...
That kid was in the lagoon. Hey, pipe down. Hey. Down in front.
Yeah, well, I mean...
So, I feel sorry for the little kid. What's his name? Bryce?
Yeah.
Sorry, Bryce. May you rest your little chewed up boy soul.
Oh, my God. Oh, damn.
What?
Oh, jeez.
Come on.
Jeez.
I'm sorry, Bryce, and your family.
His name isn't even Bryce.
What's his name?
Lane.
Lane. Sorry, Lane. All right, so Sarah, you're
welcome, Sarah.
You're my sister.
I think I need a minute.
Oh, you guys want to hear another just amazing Gilbert Arenas quote?
Yes. No.
Sure. I'm going to tell it anyway. On the road, I eat hamburgers every day. The team tries to get me to eat differently, but no. Burgers. I like burgers. McDonald's burgers, Wendy's burgers, Burger King burgers. There's this one place in Canada I even look on the schedule to find out when we play there. Best burgers I ever tasted. Real soft and sweet. I ate 12 of them in one night.
So are you trying to tell us that Gilbert Arenas is in fact the Hamburglar from McDonald's?
Yep.
When's the last time a hamburger attacked you?
Oh, my God.
No such thing as a hamburger attack.
Yeah, I'd say that to a 72-year-old cardiac arrest victim that's been eating red meat his whole life.
So, Sarah is a woman.
Tell us about that.
Who has a life of dancing. And she has a very interesting... Are you profession? Do we say profession?
Well, my profession is my actual job.
But what do you do, sir? What do you do?
What's your hobby? Do we say hobby?
Well, I have a degree in dance, for one, from George Washington University.
That's what I was trying
G-dub.
To say.
G-dub.
Yeah, G-dub.
Colonials.
Yeah.
That's their mascot.
That's
right?
Not a real mascot. Colonials! But it is their mascot. But no, I teach a pole fitness class.
A pole fitness?
Pole fitness.
Now describe that to me. What do you mean by pole fitness?
Well, a lot of people think of strippers, but I do not teach that.
No stripping.
The clothes stay on. So it's kind of like vertical gymnastics on a pole.
Okay. So if it's...
Get your thoughts together.
So it's in a, like, in a gym. They... Not in a gym.
No. It's in a pole studio.
What's the studio's
name? So there's about... I teach for Pole Pressure in Washington, D.C.
Pole Pressure.
It's owned by Jesselyn Maderi. But yeah, there's a studio with about 12 poles, for one for the instructor and 11 for the students. And basically you teach a routine. Well, you teach moves. You do strengthening and conditioning stuff, flexibility.
A lot of core exercises.
Actually, a lot less than you think.
Really? Okay.
It's mostly arms and lats and... Like conditioning exercises.
Do you deal with a large... Do you primarily have women come in, or do you have a lot of men come
in? No, there's men that come in too.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep. They tend to have more upper body strength than women.
And do you have... Is it people like trying to look for alternative ways to stay in shape primarily, or is it like... Is it X or like up and coming? Or like, do people use the class to learn how to strip? Or be better on the pole?
It's different for everybody.
Right.
Like when I was first a student at Pole Pressure, I took it because I was looking for a different way to work out. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I've had some people take it because they need to dance. Some people take it for fun. Some people take it because they just want to be around another group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the dance and the workout is a plus. But it's been my experience that the women who try and take the class to learn how to be a woman of the night, better phrase.
Lady in the night.
They take it and then they realize how much skill actually goes into it, and they don't come back.
Yeah, because I mean, I've seen some of your videos and some of your friends' videos and stuff on Instagram and like YouTube and all that. And like,
what's your Instagram handle?
Sarah Eliz Hill.
And some of like Cody, the stuff that they do is like insane. And like, from someone who's been to one or two strip clubs, they like those strippers on the pole don't do nearly anything. Like they just like swing around a little bit or like flip upside down, and that's it. But this stuff is like amazing, like dance entertainment.
Like we're instructing a workout and actually dance skills. Like you can't for strippers, you can't. Teach them how to hustle, because that's what they're doing there.
Can't teach them how to hustle.
The hustling's in the blood. Hustling's in the blood. But yeah, I mean, do you do like bachelorette party? Like.
The studio does host like bachelorette parties, birthday parties, girls' night out parties.
Right.
I had one party with like all like gay dudes. Like it depends on what the person wants.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but it's a really fun way to stay in shape.
That's awesome, dude.
No, it's actually. I mean, I don't even know what kind of questions to ask.
How long did it take?
Is there somebody that's a leader in the field?
There are people that we call them pole stars. Like, if you want to look somebody up, you could look up Christy Sellers.
Christy Sellers.
KristySellars. There's Michelle Stanek, Phoenix Kasri, at the studio right
Phoenix
now.
Phoenix Kasri? She is not a stripper.
No.
Okay.
She was actually a part of the Lion King musical.
So these are like Cirque du LA type individuals.
Yep. We have Derek Pearson in residence at the studio right now. He used to be in the circus.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think I said the name wrong. I said Cirque du Soleil.
You need a website. Okay.
Oh.
Why not do it yourself?
Oh. Wow. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So
it's like look at those legs. She's powerful.
It's nuts.
Wow, it's impressive.
So how You have a background in ballet. Ever since I've known you, you were dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And you learned, like, you have a background in jazz. Like, what's your background of
like all ballet and modern are my kind of thing.
And would you say that you were able to pick this up quickly, or?
Not really. I mean, as far as the dance and choreography, yes, but it, you can't even train your, like, you can't even go to the gym and say, all right, I'm going to get fit and take this pole class in 2 months. Because right. The type of fit that you would get by lifting weights, that's not the it's type of movement different. That you would have to do, like, in a pole class.
Sure.
And a lot of it is conditioning your skin to be able to, like, grip the pole and hang on.
Right.
Like, those aren't soft hands, but...
Those are calloused, worked hands.
Well, I make sure, like, Madeline, you know, she's amazing. I was going to go with that.
I mean, but, look at that.
Yeah, no, that's amazing stuff.
It's insane. And are there things that, like, people can go to learn more about it and get involved? Like, how big are we talking?
It's a lot bigger than you think. There's pole studios all over the United States, internationally, actually. I know when I went to Rome, I went to a pole class in Rome.
For real?
While I was there. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's we have an international pole convention. There's, like, pole expo, and people come from worldwide to these events.
And this is insane.
Cool. I have a dance question.
Yes.
So, what is the difference between contemporary and modern dance?
Oh, that's a tough one. Modern dance, think like Martha Graham. Contemporary is more like, I don't know, you don't
Martha
know.
Graham.
Contemporary.
She's the graham cracker princess.
Contemporary dance to me, for lack of a better description, is more like modern dance mixed with lyrical, mixed with teeny bit of ballet and jazz.
Okay.
So just to give you an idea, it's kind of like a fusion of.
Are you very familiar with a lot of? Do you go to a lot of, like, when dance companies come into DC? Do you?
It depends on the company. Okay. It depends on the company. And I know while I was in school at GW, it was a requirement every semester that you have to go see at least 4 performances. So.
Do you have? Is there one particular company that you tend to follow pretty regularly?
I like the Paul Taylor Dance Company. Let's see. Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Idaho's Dance Company? The Boise Dance Company?
I have not.
Neither have I.
Merce Cunningham's Dance Company is great.
How long does it take you to choreograph a pole? And how long is a, what do you call them? A set? Or a performance? Or a dance?
Strippers have sets.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry! Like you have,
like a routine or a competition piece?
Yeah.
It depends. Right now, I choreograph for several of my students for their competitions, and those happen, like, basically there's, like, a basic skeleton of the routine that happens, and then
sure.
We kind of fill it in with, you know, what they can do skill-wise, and so for them, it takes a little bit shorter of a time to choreograph than it would for, say, me.
Right.
So.
Because you've been choreographing forever. I mean, yes. We used to do dances for mom and and our cousins.
You were pole dancing for your mom?
No.
We used to do these dances to, like, Debbie Gibson, and there was Hammer Dance.
We'd make shit up with our cousins, and we'd put on, like, these shows for
That's
our parents.
Awesome.
Like, you ever seen the Cosby Show?
Yeah.
You know how they would, like, be on the steps, and, like, they would do these, like, lip-syncing, like, full dance shits? Well, like, we did that, but, like, separate. So, like... One day I did, like, Pour Some Sugar on Me with Def Leppard.
You would do a dance to Pour Some Sugar
Cody,
on Me?
Cody, he had a yellow bucket that we used to hold, like, building blocks. So he would dump those out, and then every time the chorus came on, he would take the bucket up and he'd pour some sugar on me.
I mean, we were like 5. I was like 5.
Okay, all right, yeah.
And then, like, I did a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle dance with my cousin Julia.
T-U-R-T-L-E power.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Turtle power.
Dude, I'm loving it.
I mean, we were always dancing.
Wow.
They were always dancing.
Well, but, that's pretty crazy. That's pretty nuts.
Have you
like how much longer do you think you can do that?
That's a good question, Cody.
And I don't mean that from, I just mean from like a physical standpoint.
Yeah.
That seems like it is so physically demanding that your body's
well,
like.
Keep in mind, when they're at this point, like she has probably trained for that routine for about 6 months.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
nonstop training every day, hours a day.
I mean, this is incredible.
When you're in that shape, like. That's all you're doing. You're training.
Yeah. And you had a serious injury from this.
I did.
Well, tell us about
not
that.
Necessarily
was
from this.
Was it a pole burn?
It was like the arm.
Well,
like your arm,
I separated
like...
my shoulder, but in all fairness, it was not due to pole fitness.
Okay.
I went to New Orleans for my birthday party and decided to climb a stop sign.
For some aggro pole.
That's so great because the fact that you're able to
move.
Do that.
Freestyle. Freestyle.
We call it any pole situation. Move and did not re-grip the proper way and fell off and separated my shoulder.
Nice. Do you, like, when you're teaching a class, are there any, like, is someone, like, at the top of the pole and have you ever just seen them, like, bite it? Like,
yes.
Thoosh!
Yes.
And you're like,
yeah.
Oh, what?
There was a girl who took my class when I taught at the Cleveland Park location, and she was trying to do what's called a holly drop.
What's a holly drop?
It's a drop that goes a little bit down the pole.
So, like, they climb it, and then they just free fall a minute?
It's called a holly drop. H-O-L-L-Y-D-R-O-P.
Holly drop.
And just write pole move, holly drop.
But
can you
describe it for the people not watching?
Not really.
They basically
they
back
Google
it up
too.
And drop it.
When you see it, you'll see why I can't really describe it.
The old holly drop.
So basically, they're hanging from a knee and then twist their body so that their chest faces the pole as they grip with the thighs.
Uh-huh.
And then they switch to what's called an inside leg hang on the other leg. Yeah. So,
what?
So she was at the top of the pole at Cleveland Park, which they were about 12-foot poles, and I wasn't teaching this move that day, but she decided to do it, which is very frowned upon in class.
She just did the holly drop out of nowhere? Were you like, what are you doing?
And I was like helping another student out with the material that I was actually teaching. So I see out of the corner of my eye this
You got
thing,
a holly drop sense?
This thing, yeah. I see out of the corner of my eye this thing that's falling, and I look over, and she is legit like falling from the top of the pole and lands on her, like on the side of her leg. Just hits the floor.
Is class over
at
that point?
She was okay. No. It was over for her. But we kept going.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's pretty intense.
Holly
I mean,
drop.
I offered ice, and of course, she was okay. But her leg, like, broke most of her fall.
And can you practice at home? Like, can you just get a pole? Like, how do these poles fasten?
You can, except... So they're the type of poles that screw into the ceiling and the floor, or maybe just into the ceiling, and then it's like a tension pole system. Or you can have one that doesn't screw in anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, like, I know you guys have seen those videos where people are, like, flying off the poles and falling on the floor and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Getting injured.
Yeah.
So you have to
That's
make sure
Cody
that the
at
pole...
work. Cody will text me at work and be like, dude, I'm watching pole accident videos. You gotta check this out.
They're pretty hilarious. They're pretty hilarious. So that would only happen with, like, a cheap pole or one that wasn't installed correctly.
Gotcha.
So.
We should take a class.
I think you should.
From Sarah.
Yeah,
I think
pole
you
dancing
guys should.
Class. I would do that.
It's not a pole dancing class.
It's pole dancing, but it's pole fitness.
Yeah,
it's pole fitness, but it's pole dancing because it's choreographed.
I don't refer to it as pole dancing because automatically people think stripper.
People think, yeah.
Right.
So.
Yeah, you say pole dancer and people think... I don't have any ones.
Yeah, exactly. Why are you going to train me?
But the funny thing with it is that, like, you can tell the difference completely. But have any pole fitness people been like, yo, let me just take this to Crazy Horse 3 and, like, clean the fuck up?
Because
if you do this stuff at, if you Google this pole fitness and watch these dances, and you take that to the strip club, you'll be the greatest ever.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You go to a strip club to see how good the girls dance?
I don't think I can appreciate it.
I've been to a strip club with Jenny, and, like, you can appreciate the dancing.
The guys who are going to strip clubs are not looking for the technical skills.
No, they're not. They're like, oh, man, you see the way that her body moved on that pole?
Damn, I mean, she did that outside say, oh, leg did you hang see just the way right. Her body moved on that pole? That was a tough Holly drop. I didn't think she was gonna make it.
Exactly.
Like no one's going in there for that.
They wouldn't know until they saw it. No then they one, would appreciate it.
No one is Maybe. Going in there for that.
Like if you did the Holly drop and you had like just money falling from the sky, boom. What is that?
Oh, that's awesome.
It's a picture of me and my friend well Sarah.
Well done. Holy hell.
Let me see it.
Oh, that's great. Holy shit.
Give it to me.
Stop. Your time's up, Cody.
It's like she's holding her body. She's like planking with her legs up. That's a gymnastic move.
Right is that there. Sarah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's up, Sarah?
So did you feel a lot of weight on your leg in that shot?
Actually, my leg is helping her stay up.
Yeah.
Because I'm pulling my leg out.
Oh my god.
Which is usually not how you do that move.
Can we use this picture when we promote your podcast?
Sure.
Your episode?
Just just put it on Facebook right now.
It's on my Facebook page. What do you need me to do?
Show that, Jam.
Look at that. That's incredible. I'm proud of you, Sarah.
Well,
that's cool.
Thanks.
That's cool,
Sarah. I used to go to all of Sarah's dances. All of them.
He's never been to a pole performance.
Never a pole.
What is your... when you first told your mom... Because what I've experienced of your mother is limited. And it's only and it's only through the eyes of Daniel J. Hill. So...
Well, I didn't tell her for a long time because I was worried about the... Oh, why the are stigma. You doing this?
Don't do this
to yourself. Sarah. Do Isn't you really cool? want that type of life for yourself?
We have the same impression of her.
So you know it's true.
No, it's a real
so,
thing.
Yeah. So yeah, so I didn't tell her for maybe like a year and a half or 2 years until, so there was one weekend where she was asking me, she said, so what did you do last weekend or something? I was like, well, I was in a dance competition and I got second place. And she
nice.
Was like... She was like, oh, he didn't invite me. What's the dance competition? Do you have a video or any photos? I was like, yeah, I do have a video. So I showed it to her.
Now's better than any time, right?
I was like, here you go. Didn't tell her it was pole. Didn't tell her it wasn't ballet or anything.
What was she just like, oh,
she watched it nice. And she said, well, what's happening here? I said, I'm dancing, Mom. And she kept looking at it and she was like, oh my gosh, how do you... And really, she was just amazed at what she saw. But I know that if I would have
described
approached
it to her,
if I would have said, "Hey, Mom, I'm pole dancing," then I would have gotten the "Oh, Sarah."
Yeah, no, you could tell her anything. Like, "Hey, I'm gonna move to Canaan Country." All right, my mom has no idea what Canaan Country is.
I
at
think
all.
She thinks it's like another country.
But if I said that, but if I brought it to her like that and said that, she'd be like, oh, I don't know about that, Daniel.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, really? Why?
She's just naturally a bit...
She's a knower,
Cody,
first. She's a know
my
first.
My first time on an airplane ever was to Hawaii, because I got to dance in the Pro Bowl when I was a senior in high
school. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Thank you. So,
proud.
First time on a plane, 12-hour flight. I'm terrified to go on because I was scared. You know, first time. So my mom says, well, make sure that we wear an outfit that's all cotton. I said, why should I do that? She said, well, because that way if the plane catches on fire, your clothes won't stick to your skin.
She was like dead serious.
I was like, Mom, if the plane catches on fire and I'm over the Pacific Ocean, I'm pretty much dead.
You got your cotton panties on? Don't want that catching.
That way it'll burn off.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
God bless her.
Talk about comforting.
Yeah.
God bless her.
Well, that's awesome. Well, congrats.
Thanks.
Yeah.
How awesome. Would your mother feel about Mel Gibson and the idea of him making a second Jesus movie?
How does
your
mom feel about Mel Gibson? She's gung-ho for Jesus.
She took us to see Passion of the Christ.
She took you?
Yeah, she thought it was important.
I didn't
see
it in the theater.
I saw it in the theater with her and
Tunti. I decided to watch
Eva.
It one Christmas Eve while I was wrapping gifts. And I'm bawling my freaking eyes out.
That is not a good Christmas wrapping
movie.
No, it
was not your usual The Nightmare Before Christmas, that's for sure.
No, I went with Mom and Tunti Eva. And Tunti Eva...
Yikes.
Like, it was over... And we were like, okay, let's get up and leave the theater. And Tante Eva was like, I need a minute.
Yikes.
And we had to like leave her in the theater for a minute after that she was like. But I know my mom owns that movie. I think that she would.
She owns it.
I just don't understand.
I mean, how often do you think people pull that out? They're like, man, I don't really want to watch that.
Just Christmas Eve.
Or is it just one of the things where you just watch it? That's a one and done.
It's a one and done. That's a one and done. It's not a I need to own it type of thing. I've seen it. I'm not going to purchase it.
Yeah.
And by the way, is there a sequel to that?
That's what I was about to, like, how they pretty much got it in the one.
Well, I mean, doesn't he rise and?
Well, they did.
He rises
in the one.
At the end. Yeah.
At the end, you see the door open.
So then, what's the sequel?
You don't see him come out.
What's the sequel?
No, and you see his hand.
Yeah.
His hand didn't have the hole anymore.
So I mean,
right,
I,
but
the,
even
the
even the story,
is basically like he rises,
even the story, he rises and then ascends into heaven. That sequel's going to be really short.
Well, I think you can go on and then explain how Christianity is spread, maybe.
Maybe, but maybe. If you're trying to like recapture what
the passion of the Christ,
yeah,
is
then
gonna be
like he
he's out of there.
He wasn't.
Milton Berle comes down from heaven and he's just like, "Hey there, guys."
I don't think that's where he comes from.
I don't know how you're going to do a fucking sequel. It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know.
It is very weird.
You know, they have to franchise everything. Why not the Bible?
Yeah. Well, you know. Yo, did you see The Passion 2? That shit was crazy, son. He came back.
Those Romans were destroyed by Christians.
Maybe that would. Maybe he retells the same story, but through the eyes of Scientology.
Oh, because that's really how it happened.
That would be. I'd watch that movie just to see the freakishness.
Haven't you? Isn't it called what was it? War of the Worlds? Isn't
is that,
that
the story of Scientology?
Isn't that
no,
Scientology?
That's not Scientology. War of the Worlds is an old
alien
Orson
movie.
Welles book. But
no, I'm talking about the Tom Cruise.
Not
movie.
Orson Welles book. What is it, Andy? Tell me.
H.G. Wells.
H.G. Wells, not
Orson Welles.
Orson Welles.
He's the radio guy. That radio. Yes, but he did War of the Worlds.
Yes.
Orson Welles did War of the Worlds, and people believe that it really was happening.
But isn't that, well, Scientologists believe it really happened, because isn't that their story? Like, there's an alien, and that's, they
I think
took
you're
over
thinking of, what
no.
was it, Babylon A.D.?
No, World look up Warcraft. Scientology.
It was World of Warcraft. No, Scientology, it's the idea that there was a, what is it, a giant, we've had a conversation about Scientology before.
Yes.
The path, because I brought up the path.
No,
the
it's path. About aliens, I'm telling you.
No, aliens, there is a belief that there is, like, aliens in your soul. Your soul is a spirit of a previous, previous civilization. And they... Andy, get over here.
That's so weird.
Are you a Scientologist?
What?
You're nailing it. Something about previous civilization.
Now, get over here.
Cody, are you a Scientologist?
Okay. No, I'm not a Scientologist. I read a book called Going Clear, which is what they made
that
documentary.
Was it your Scientology Bible?
And me and Jenny...
You read?
I'm not wrong, am I?
You're close.
So what is...
Aliens actually got... Yeah, there was like a Galactic Council.
Yes.
The bad aliens got brought to Earth, and their souls were... locked in a volcano.
Yes, their souls were locked in a volcano. And they're saying that what happens is inside our bodies...
The negative
energy of those creatures live inside us. Right. And they measure that with...
The E-meter,
that's right.
Really?
So that's why, like, their belief is that, like, if you're depressed or you feel any sickness, it's that negative energy from these... enclosed aliens in this volcano.
Damn. Jenny and I went into the original Church of Scientology in D.C. when we lived there.
You did?
We did.
Okay.
Me and Jenny.
I don't know why. I wasn't hearing
this. His wife is Jenny.
His wife
is
sister. Of course,
Sarah.
Yeah, sister and Sarah.
We went in. And, but they're very good about not telling you that off the bat.
Oh, no.
You have to get through like several tiers before they give that knowledge to you.
We went in
and lots of
like,
money.
Jenny, we took a tour of the building and like Jenny, they hooked Jenny up to the machine that reads your levels.
Yeah, the E-meter.
And they were like, Jenny, you need to stay. Her levels were off the charts.
Are you serious?
And Jenny. Yeah. Is like one of the happiest people that I've ever met in my life.
And then we were like, okay, but while she's holding the knobs or whatever, and like this woman is totally coaching her up. to like to get her kind of riled up.
Yeah.
And they're like, you feel that? Do you feel that negative energy? And Jenny's just, because she's so nice and awesome, is like, yep, sure do. And then like, and then like the meter, and then the meter starts like spiking, and they're like, oh yeah, you could really use some Scientology.
So here's where Scientology actually gets people. The idea of Scientology is they get people that are actually going through a lot of like emotional, mental health, not necessarily mental health, but they're going through some tough times.
Like a self-help thing.
In a strange way. And a lot of Scientology, I mean, it's not real science, but it is a lot of like self-help stuff.
Yeah.
And they have big support groups to help you get through a lot of these tough times. And so people end up committing themselves to this religion because, you know, it does help them feel better about themselves. Because
sure.
It's a group thing, and there's processes to allow you to basically kind of talk about how you feel.
Cody Frederick, are you switching your stance on cults? Because I distinctly remember an episode where I was into cults.
Yes, it was episode 30. And
it
I am
sounds
not,
like you are into
I
cults
I am not
now.
Into cults at all. I think cults are
what
dangerous.
What are you going through in your life right now, Cody? Have they gotten to you?
He's getting married.
I'm getting married.
Oh, that was too late.
And, you know, life and stuff. So,
but
don't let them get to you.
But no, I'm sorry. With you. Like, yes, there are people that it helps them. They're into it.
Yes, it does. I get it. It's like one of the big benefits. A big reason religion is such a successful thing is because people don't feel so alone, and
yeah.
they're able to deal with stresses that on a normal daily basis they'd struggle handling. So knowing that there's other people there, you know, the family feel, the community, the sense of, you know, being a part of something.
Right.
It's a big deal. So
good.
Anyway, Scientology, religion, life.
I forgot the end of that point. The point was they prey on vulnerable people and then make them pay a bunch of money.
Madeline's right. Yeah. They do prey on vulnerable people, and they do make them pay a bunch of money because to move up in the religion, you pay large sums to the church.
Learn more of their secrets.
Here's all I'm saying. I don't agree with Scientology. I don't believe in anything that Scientology does. But
sure.
I do believe that if something makes you feel good about you, and it helps you cope with daily things, and it's not through drugs or whatever it is, if it's through talking out problems and feelings, you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say, do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, do it.
I'm with you.
But
I'm pro-cult.
I'm not pro-cult, Dan Hill.
You're barking up the wrong tree.
I'm not pro-cult.
I'm like, cult up.
I'm
as long
pro-cult.
As you're not going to kill anybody, go for it.
I'm not pro-cult.
You're, there's a gray area with you.
There's not a gray area. It's just that I understand that life can be tough, man. And sometimes you need something
yeah.
to, you know, lean against. And unfortunately, Scientology preys on the vulnerable. But if that helps them get them out of their rut and they're able to get away before they're locked in a closet and sign a billion-year contract to
yeah.
serve their church, hey, I salute you.
Yeah. Sometimes you just got to take a blood oath. And
you guys get if you guys get a chance, go down to Clearwater, Florida. And, you know,
hang out
see
on
what it's
lagoon.
Like to be around a real cult, buddy.
I'm scared of them.
Yeah.
And we touched on it. I don't know if we were recording yet, but I wanted to speak on haters in general. Just do you have a lot of internet troll hate or just like do people hate on you for being good at pole pressure?
If pole they pressure. Do, I don't know about it. Cause
the company's pole pressure.
I don't,
pole pressure,
I don't irresponsibly friend people.
Right. I just hate fucking internet trolls and haters in general.
Let's be fair, Dan Hill.
Doesn't that in fact make you a hater?
No, well,
Dan
that's the thing.
Dan Hill, the irony of your hate.
That is the thing, is that... Like, all right, a lot of people would say that, yes, I am a hater of things. But it's because I'm a liker of other things.
Yeah.
It's because I like a lot of other shit that I can't...
That's the argument of a hater.
No, I don't think it is.
Okay.
And
says
I don't,
the hater.
I don't hate just to hate. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like LeBron James, okay? And I have a reason for that.
It's because you're dumb.
No.
Okay.
I would never... I would never hate. I don't hate LeBron James because he is. I wouldn't say he's bad at basketball. I think he's amazing.
You'd be an idiot to say that.
Yeah, I think he's one of the greatest basketball players to ever play the game.
Yeah.
But I don't want to see him succeed because he has caused the Wizards to lose so many important games over the years that I do not like him. I don't want to succeed.
He's not the cause of your Wizards sucking, man.
But does that make me a hater of LeBron?
Yes.
Or a lover of the Wizards?
No, it makes you a hater of LeBron.
It's a hater against anyone who doesn't serve your purposes.
Yeah, that's hater hate, man.
So in 2005, I think it was, the Wizards were in the playoffs against the Cavs. And LeBron James, Gilbert Arenas was on the line, and he was about to, put them over with, 2 seconds left or something like that to win it. To not get knocked out. And LeBron James runs out, leaves his mark at the free throw line, whispers something to Gilbert Arenas, which is an immediate technical foul in any other situation. And he whispers something to him.
Did he have the ball?
No.
Not a technical foul.
No. Yeah, he had the ball.
Gilbert Arenas had the ball.
He had the ball and, was going to take a free throw and play a stop. And he whispers something in his ear. And then Gilbert misses both of the shots. And then LeBron scores. That's why I don't like him. But am I a hater? I'm not a hater on LeBron. I'm a lover of the Wizards.
No, you're a hater on LeBron because what you're doing is you're taking a very small moment and you're making it so big that you're taking this idea that the Washington Wizards are the center of all basketball, right?
They're the center of my basketball.
Okay. Well, you could say any team that beats them, you hate them. You should hate the Golden State Warriors because they destroyed your Wizards this year.
But
you should, because if we're living by your logic.
They didn't do anything that egregious. LeBron did something heinous.
Yeah, you're right. They didn't do anything that egregious. They just beat your Wizards by 30 plus points both times.
But the point I'm trying to make
cheating,
here.
Is what you're saying.
Trolling is another level that I do not appreciate.
Yeah, you're not appreciating trolling. Because Dan Hill is in a fight with a man by the name of Vaughn.
Vaughn, you miserable, miserable troll of a human.
Who's personally, Vaughn is this guy on Facebook that he decided to tell Dan to drop dead or die or something like that.
Yeah.
What's his problem?
All right, didn't like that we put a bunch of hashtags when we were trying to promote the Dan and Cody podcast. And
yet a hobby.
There's a Facebook group called Podcast Town, and I joined this group because I thought that this is a community of people who share podcasts and promote each other and help each other out. I thought it was a cool thing, and people put their episodes up and boom 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 and it's all good. But Cody, we share our episodes on there, and this piece of shit would always write kill yourself under it.
He's probably 12 years old.
He may be.
Well, his picture on his Facebook shows that he is at least in his late 30s, if not in his mid, or at least in his late 20s, if not in his mid 30s.
Yeah.
And he's got a lady and a...
He's clearly diabetic.
Personally, I happen to like, I happen to like these two fighting.
We thought, the humor, his humor is very dry and I think that, resonates with Cody, because Cody likes, strange comedy. And awkwardness.
What the fuck does that mean?
You dig the odd stuff.
I do like weird odd stuff, but the fact that you two go at it two men that have never met each other, and you both go at each other. I'm trying to find the conversations between the two of you because they are just so.
But he's an internet troll. He's a troll. That's the correlation between me.
What's the point of it?
None. There is none. I don't know why he doesn't like us. That was my correlation between me hating on LeBron. I have a reason.
Do you really want him to like you?
No. I don't give a shit if he does or if he doesn't.
Just block him.
Why are you giving him power by talking about him right now?
Why don't you just block him?
Because you write kill yourself. And you write kill yourself?
And I think that's why it's a lot of fun.
Why do you want me to murder me?
And it's killing you inside.
He wants me to murder me?
Why don't you just block him?
He wants me to murder me. I'm not into that.
I'm with Jenny. Why are you letting this bother you so much?
It doesn't bug me. I'm just thinking about it. I'm like, here's a guy.
You need to ignore
him. Here's a guy with a 3-inch penis sitting in his parents' basement And
how the hell do you know he's got a 3-inch penis?
And all he has is kill myself on any post that I make in a group about sharing fucking podcasts. Like that's all I was doing. And he's and then on the other one he wrote, fuck those guys.
At least you know you're on the right path. Because
if
you didn't have any haters, then that means that you really do suck.
It's true. But, you know, you spend a lot of time, like, building a link, making it a shorter one, the proper hashtags, making sure the picture pops up. And you're like, hey, guys, just want you to check out the podcast. Yeah, you can like it or you can't. And then, fuck those guys. It's like, dude.
So block him.
He's like, fuck you, man.
Block him.
I'm not a fan.
If he listens to this, you're just going to rile him up more.
He won't listen. He won't.
He won't listen.
Because he has troll ears.
Well, if he does, then you know that he is listening to your podcast. So yeah. Guess what? He may hate you, but he's one of your listeners.
Yeah, Vaughn, if you got this far, fuck you. Kill yourself.
Wow. And Vaughn, he doesn't mean that. He just wants to have a pizza with you.
You suck.
He wants to be your friend, Vaughn.
We don't like you.
Vaughn, I'm indifferent.
Vaughn, I know that that's not true. he does not want to be your friend.
Vaughn looks like a character from Warcraft.
He probably morphed into him from all the video games he's spending playing in a basement.
Nailed it. Beautiful.
Go to hell, Vaughn.
Yeah, well, you're okay, buddy.
Or just wander into a lagoon.
Yeah. Hey, Vaughn, why don't you join a support group? It's called Scientology.
Are you?
How about that?
Yeah. Good one.
Thanks, Jenny. Love you, too.
That was awesome.
Oh, my God. So, I went to Idaho.
That's right.
Of course
you did. I went to Idaho.
He's from Idaho.
I know. That's why I said, of course you did.
So I went to Idaho.
I listened.
You listen, and we appreciate the ear love, right? So I went to Idaho this last weekend. I went home, visit family, got to experience some time with them. It was pleasant, right? And I decided, here's the thing. I have a brain that doesn't remember anything. Mm-hmm. Anything. I have incredible short-term memory. Because I'll forget what I just said, right?
Right.
So I go to Idaho. I'm spending time with the family. And Saturday morning, we wake up. We go golfing, which is delightful. And I have my wallet. And I drive on the golf course. And I come home, and we go out, and we have lunch. And, you know, they ask me, they ID me for my beer. I don't have my ID, but they still give me a beer anyway because it's Idaho, and they give children beer.
You're white.
And I'm white. And so I go through it. Monday, I need to catch an airplane. What do I not have?
You don't have that wallet.
None. Can't find it anywhere.
How did you get back?
You're able to go to the airport and fill out a form. And then they call. And if they can verify that you are you, you can get on the airplane. However, they do a full body pat down.
Oh, fuck wow. Yeah. Tell me all about this.
So
Did they touch your butt?
Dude, it was a lot.
Did they go in your butt?
They didn't go.
Did you have to pull your pants down?
They didn't. No, no.
Did they hold your balls and have you cough?
No balls holding. Well.
There was a little.
There was a
little,
moment.
Why didn't you lead with this?
Well, what's interesting is
he's
like. We talked
about an alligator getting eaten a kid first.
I don't know what to tell you.
You so tell this first.
He basically looked at me in the eyes and he said, so what I'm going to do is I'm gonna rub the front of you.
And then did you hear Sebastian from The Little Mermaid singing Kiss the Girl?
Okay, right, exactly.
Sha-la-la-la-la-la-da-da-da.
I look down.
Kiss the girl.
Yeah.
All right, so. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-go-beso. You got to kiss the girl.
There was.
You got to kiss the girl.
Oh, man.
So wait. What? All right. What did this man look like?
So first off, they have me put all.
What
my
did
stuff
he look
in.
Like?
Yeah, I need a mental picture.
He looked like Idaho.
What color were his eyes?
Blue.
What color were his thoughts?
Dark.
Green.
Well, they did it. They took a lot. Long, they took a lot longer to go through my things.
Okay. Right? Which things?
Like I had my bags.
Oh, okay.
Because I had to, you know. Not but he had me stand in the corner, and this airport, mind you, is. a regional airport. It's in Idaho Falls, a town of 60,000 people. So for somebody to come in and not have a driver's license, they bring like three people over to talk to me in the first place. So you have no idea, no ID, no identification, nothing that shows who you are. No. No, I don't.
Oh, please tell me you got felt up by all three
so
guys.
So he takes me in the back. Well, not in the back. But he takes me in the front where everybody's like going through the line because there's, you know, six people.
This is at security check?
At the security, TSA. Normal guys. Right. So he's like, okay, so...
How'd you get your boarding pass? Oh, print it. You pre-print it?
Yeah, print it. You don't need a driver's license for that. Okay. So he ends up like rubbing down my chest and then we get down to my legs and he's just like, so I'm gonna rub the front of you and then put my legs up in, my hands up in between your thighs.
Excuse me?
So like, because he goes up and he checks up.
He really got in there.
Like he checks up because he's got to make sure that there's like no goop up there. You know what I mean?
Goop.
I don't know. Whatever they make bomb out of.
Goop.
Bomb goop.
Bomb goop.
They would keep that in the balls?
I don't know. I have no idea. They have to check it nonetheless.
So he isolated one thigh and
He went up on both.
And then he
had to check up on both. He had to check up on both. He took his hands, and he took his hands, and he went like in my pants, and he went up and around like this.
Did he get in your butt?
No, he didn't get in my butt.
Well, that's where you keep the bombs.
I don't have a bomb.
If I had a bomb, it'd be in my butt.
Why?
Because clearly they don't check there. Duh.
That's true. No, he
big ass.
He did the check.
So he did touch your butt.
Yeah, of course.
Was there penetration?
Did he go in your pockets? Your butt pockets?
No, because he could feel.
Why am I doing this?
Why would he go in my butt pocket?
like butt pockets?
Like on the blanket.
Oh, like the one on your couch.
Like on the blanket.
No. Like on the blanket. Oh, no. Yeah, well, yeah, no.
When
I don't
he went
remember.
In the butt pockets, did he curl his fingers under?
And he gripped and pulled me closer?
Yeah.
No, that didn't happen.
So
he was actually a gentleman.
And then they let you go?
Yeah, they let me go.
Did he buy you dinner?
No, did you have to show him?
There's no place to buy me dinner at the airport.
How did you prove you were you at the end? In the end,
they asked me a series of questions. What car? What was the last car that you purchased? Do you own another car? No.
Where would they get this information from?
Well, I imagine they ran some kind of like credit check because they asked for the last four numbers of my Social Security, my date of birth.
That could affect your
my
credit.
My address, all
if they
that
did,
kind
if they
of stuff.
Did a hard inquiry, that could affect your credit.
Well, I'm hoping they didn't do a hard inquiry.
Oh, they did a hard inquiry.
I know all about the whole credit
thing. That all happened at the gate, sir.
Yeah, that's right. Memorable.
Cody's inquiry was hard. So walking away from this, are you confident in the checking process?
Nah, here's my problem with this whole setup.
So let's say you were a bad guy.
If I was a bad guy, I wouldn't forget my driver's license.
Right.
I wouldn't forget any ID. Because the last thing I want you to do is check me.
Could say Handy J get through as you with no ID?
No, he doesn't know the information that well.
He wouldn't know it?
He might know a few things, but I don't think he'd know, like, he couldn't spout off my date of birth. He couldn't spout off the last four of my social, let alone my address.
That stuff you can learn.
Yeah, you can.
You
just
can
learn it.
No,
you
can
Google that.
You could maybe. Nah, not my social.
So you got on the plane.
I got on the plane.
No
I got
ID.
No ID. It wasn't a problem at all. I was just flying, you know, Allegiant Airlines.
If you were of Muslim descent, do you think there would have been any question?
If I was in Idaho and I was of Muslim descent and I didn't have it,
they'd be
it
like,
would have
fuck
been
off.
It would have been a really big problem.
Yeah, for sure. I bet they'd have been like, so long.
Yeah, there's not a lot of Muslim people in Idaho in the first place.
Yeah,
there's not a lot of people in Idaho anyway, especially in that part of the state. So, but that was pretty crazy.
Craziness.
Yeah. Anyway, go flights.
Yeah, Sarah. Thank you for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for being on the Dan and Cody podcast, Sarah.
You got anything to plug?
Your poll?
Poll pressure.
Powers? Poll pressure.
What's the website?
www.pollpressure.com.
And where can people like take classes and stuff?
In D.C.
Give us an
Maryland,
address.
Maryland, Virginia.
All over.
If you want to come to D.C., it's... I don't know the
address. Just Google it.
Yeah, Google poll pressure.
You want to Google?
It's
you
at 14th and Rhode Island.
You want to Google poll pressure?
In Washington D.C.
Yes.
Well, that's if you want to come and take my class. But there are poll pressures all over the place. We even have one in Kenya.
We have a lot of listeners in Maryland and D.C. So
check it out, Maryland.
Poll
I love
pressure, Ellicott City.
It's fun, right? Like anyone can come.
Pole pressure Woodbridge.
What if you completely
pole
suck?
Pole pressure Richmond. Everybody sucks when they start.
Like, what's the first, like, basic move?
Catch spin.
That's it?
Yep.
Everybody, catch spin. Learn it first so you're ahead of the game.
We'll teach you. We'll teach you everything you need to know. You don't even have to be strong. Just show up.
Thanks for being on it, Sarah. I love you.
Thanks,
love you,
Sarah. Too. It was awesome to meet you.
Thanks, guys.
You're the best.
Thanks for listening to the Dan and Cody podcast. Remember to like our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube page. We're now on iTunes, and you can bookmark our website, thedanandcodypodcast.simplecast.fm.
Subscribe, bitch!
Everybody play the tough guy to shoot, bro.
Michael, make sure you cut that thing about my boner.